Welcome to Happily Ever After is just the beginning. Keeping your relationship not just together, but happy, and we mean truly happy, is part art and part science. You've come to the right place. Here's your host, Leslie Dorries.
You know, something that a lot of people struggle with when they're in relationships is balancing being themselves, being an individual, and then being part of a couple. And one of the places that this plays out is in deciding what can be kept private and what actually needs to be shared with your partner. And successful relationships are built on trust, and trust is built on honesty. But where does one draw the line? Is it possible to be too honest? And when does not sharing something cross over into keeping secrets? And so joining me to answer these questions is Liz Higgins. She's a marriage and family therapy associate and a Huffington Post contributor. And her recent article, Privacy Versus Secrecy, addresses these issues just head on, no holds barred, let's take this on. So Liz, thanks so much for joining me today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Leslie.
Well, you know, this is such an important topic because I actually kind of have bought into this idea of what I call, actually, I don't call it radical honesty. I stole that from somebody. And this is where you're as honest as you can be about your thoughts, your feelings, your hopes, what you did yesterday, where you went to lunch. I mean, you know, just kind of this global sense of honesty. But people misinterpret when I talk to my clients about that. They go, oh, well, then I have to share every thought that comes into my head. No,
right.
You don't. So it really brings into this question about, you know, because you state in your article that this full disclosure is a bad thing. And so it's kind of, I realize a lot of this is nuance, which, you know, sometimes my clients think, okay, you're speaking out of both sides of your mouth. I'm going, no. It's just a little more subtle and complicated. So what do you mean, you know, why do you believe that full disclosure is a bad idea?
Well, I don't know that full disclosure is necessarily a bad idea, but I certainly think that it might not be the best idea. So, you know, there's a little bit of a difference there for me because I feel like the answer to that is that it's really subjective. You know, it comes down to the person. You have to know what your intentions are in sharing things with your partner. I mean, or in not sharing things with your partner. You know, are you intending to hide something because you feel embarrassed or ashamed or you know you did something wrong? But I mean, imagine a relationship where there was full disclosure of your thoughts, feelings, or situations going on all the time. You know, I think that would get pretty abrasive, potentially hurtful, and that way of being, I don't think is really that considerate of the other person's feelings or how they may receive something.
And I think that's really important because I tell people I'm a believer in radical honesty, but not brutal honesty. I mean, and that,
exactly.
You know, and some people say, well, you know, I'm just being honest after they've, like, laid their partner out on the floor, you know. And I always tell people, you know, it's one of those things where if your best friend comes up to you and they've just gotten a new haircut and they go, how do you like my new haircut? And you really think that you don't say, well, it looks like you had a run-in with a weed whacker. You go, you know, I actually kind of liked it better the old way. You know, so I'm actually being honest, but I'm being gentle. And by the way, you can choose to, you know, accept my opinion or not. And I think that's where people get caught up in this, well, I'm supposed to be honest, so I don't have to put it in terms that my partner can hear.
Exactly, right. And I think a lot of times people are kind of afraid of how their partner is going to respond to something, you know? It's like, when was the time your partner came to you about something they regretted doing or felt bad about, and you simply kind of comforted them, you know, held them, listened to them, said something like, I'm so glad you told me that. You know, I'm sorry this has been weighing on you, babe. But no, we get real defensive. We get very reactive. So learning to listen and really hear your partner out is an important thing. But on the other end, you know, for sure, coming with a more gentle and respectful approach towards your partner when you're expressing something, I believe, is really important.
So, you know, you also said in the article, and I'm going to quote this because I loved this this statement. You know, sometimes telling the whole story can actually harm a person more. It is the job of each individual to discern the information they share with their partner. And when I read this, I'm going, okay, on some level I get this, but then can't this somewhat create distance and undermine trust, especially if I find out later that you kind of kept this detail from me? I mean, you know, talking about this complete honesty, you know, unfortunately, you know, my mother-in-law died on my daughter's birthday, and so I, when I found out, I decided I wasn't going to tell my daughter that day, and I kind of put out to Facebook, it's like, please don't put any, you know, don't put anything on Facebook about this, because I want to be the one to tell her, but I didn't want to spoil her birthday. So she could have been really mad. In fact, actually, she was a little annoyed with me because I had kept this, you know, but it was like, I did it out of a place of love, and it wasn't like she wasn't going to find out that her grandmother had died, but it was like...
Right. It sounds like you really did the best that you know, you did what was best at the time, you know, with what you knew and what was going on.
And that even sort of still backfired a little bit for me because she was actually hurt that I hadn't told her. But it's like, honey, I didn't, you know, there was no way I was going to tell you this on your birthday. And, you know, and so when I think it's an okay thing, but my partner doesn't think it's an okay thing, how do couples resolve that?
Sure. Yeah, and I think it's kind of twofold because on the one hand, you're never going to know every single thing your partner is thinking. You're never going to know every single expectation they have about what you should or should not have told them. You know, the other side of that coin is you've got to learn to talk with each other early on about what your expectations are, you know, what trust looks like for you. You know, and back to that quote that you were kind of pointing out in my article and wondering if that was going to create more distance or undermine the trust, I see it more of a healthy boundary. It's less about having distance between the two of you, but more about understanding that differentiation, you know, a semblance of where I end and you begin, and to know that, you know, I'm not going to know everything you need every moment of every day, but I can try to understand and I can do the best I can. And come from a place that I feel is the best in respecting those boundaries you have. Does that make sense?
It does, and that brings up a really important question because I know I frequently will talk to my clients about, you know, English sometimes is completely inadequate for what we need, but it's all we got. So, or whatever language people speak. I should say languages. So, what is the difference between privacy and secrecy? I mean, and is that a matter of definitions, semantics? How do you describe that difference?
Yeah, well, I guess if you look at it from, you know, a definition term kind of thing, you know, privacy is more about the freedom of being observed from other people. You know, you're not constantly being questioned or investigated. You know, you've just got your privacy. Secrecy, from my perspective, it's more of an intentional thing. It's something that is intentionally kept from someone or is unknown by others. You know, because that's what you intend to happen. And so it's like, where do you draw that line? I mean, that line, that proverbial line that we talk about, it's not black and white, you know? And that's why I say it really comes down to the internal intent of each person and what their motive is in keeping something from their partner versus not thinking about telling them something. And I guess something important to point out too is it's really important to know that I'm not talking about relationship accountability here, which is something that healthy and successful relationships absolutely need. You know, you've got to be able to own your mistakes and come forward to your partner in those tough moments to practice honesty, truthfulness. And that's really vulnerable. You know, it's a really hard thing to do.
Okay, Liz, that's scary. That's scary. My partner's not going to like it.
Exactly. We are so scared and concerned about the outcome, you know. And to me, that's where we kind of get into the trust and control issues because I don't want, you know, my partner to react a certain way or to be upset about what I might share. You know what? I'm just not going to share it. I'm just going to avoid that situation altogether.
Well, and I think that comes into, because one of the things I run into a lot, and it I expect it, and I kind of take a big sigh whenever I hear this with my couples. It's like, well, I want to avoid conflict. I don't want to disagree. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, okay, first off, you can't avoid conflict. Well, let me rephrase that. You can avoid conflict, but conflict does not mean, you know, disagreement does not automatically mean conflict. But that's where people get this idea. And I think part of it is, like you said, with, well, how does my partner react if I disagree or I share something that makes them uncomfortable or is new or they don't like, or, you know, well, that's, you're my wife, you're supposed to do X, or you're my husband, you're supposed to do Y. And it's like, well, who said? I mean, where? But it's this whole idea then that I internalize that. So how is, because in my mind, in a way, avoiding conflict, not sharing my real thoughts and feelings, isn't remaining private. It actually is remaining secret, isn't it?
Sure. I mean, to not kind of express something that is potentially an important issue or subject or feeling for you, it makes me wonder, how is that keeping you from being able to grow with your partner? You know, we get so wrapped up in how someone's going to respond to us and receive something that we hinder ourselves from expressing what we need. And, you know, when we are talking about marriage here, it really long-term, those are little things now that could potentially create long-term resentment because you don't feel like you can come to your partner and express things. And that's really why, you know, learning those skills of active listening and real, true conflict resolution is just so important, especially pre-marriage.
Yes, and that's we're going to get back to that later because I think that's an important thing. And you know, it's this whole idea of, you know, I talk with people, and my husband and I got married kind of predating the whole internet, kind of, you know, personal computers were in existence, but there was no internet. And so when we got our first email account, we had one email account. You know, it was like we both shared it. It didn't matter. Uh-huh. There was no, this is, and so because we don't have secrets from each other. Now, again, that doesn't mean that we don't have private thoughts, but, you know, there wasn't anything that I felt he couldn't see. If somebody sent me an email, you know, unless it was I was planning a surprise party for him or something, but, you know, but I know that now people keep everything, you know, they lock their phones and, you know, and so there's a part of me that wonders what the fear is about, I mean, my partner knowing what I'm doing. And, you know, I kind of abide by the, if you wouldn't do it with your partner sitting right next to you, then maybe you might want to rethink whatever your behavior or statement is going to be. But, you know, it's this idea of what's privacy versus secret. And what's this idea that I have to keep my Facebook life or my phone, you know, locked.
Right. And yeah, I completely respect that thought about, you know, you wouldn't want to do something that your partner, if they weren't sitting right there, would not be okay with it. And to me, through that, I hear respect, you know, and of course you want to respect your partner. You want to respect the relationship. But at what point does it become too much? You know, things are so different now. I mean, geez, just in the past few years, technology continues to evolve and change, and there's so many ways we can be connected constantly. Where is the space, you know? Like, there's some couples today, well, they will have joint Facebook accounts, and that works for them. Other people just had their own, and, you know, maybe they got together, got married, whatever, maintained their own. It comes down to, you know. You know if you're doing something that would not be respectful of your partner in that relationship. What I think is an important thing to look at is, you know, who do you become when you shift into the role of detective or spy or being really insecure about what your partner's doing and trying to look at their phone? You know, it's oftentimes true. You're going to find what you're looking for. if that's really what you're focused on. So what's a better lens to see your partner through? One where you're constantly questioning them and don't trust them, or one where you choose to trust and risk that vulnerability? You know, it's that icky word, that thing we don't want to
do,
because it's risky. But, you know, one of those ways makes you feel like you've got more control in the moment, but the second way is really what allows long-term trust to happen.
Well, that's really important because, and again, it's really about my level of comfort in the relationship. And, you know, we're talking about risk. Well, the minute you love somebody, you've put yourself at risk.
And exactly.
So the alternative would be, well, do I not want to love anybody? And I think most of us would say, well, first off, I'm not sure that we can actually do that. But most of us, I would say, wouldn't want to.
Right, right. And yeah, it kind of, you know, hurts my heart sometimes when I sit, you know, in the room with a client who is saying, you know, I don't know if I ever want to be with someone. I don't think I will ever get married because they've either been, you know, their heart's been broken, their trust has been betrayed in the past, and they've really been done wrong. And that is so tough. You know, I feel for those people. But I don't believe that, you know, what happens in one situation is destined to happen every other time. You know, the important thing is, if something has happened, even with your current partner, to give you reason not to trust them, that is something that should be explored more if you have not forgiven them and been able to move forward together, because you've got to be able to try to have trust.
So this is Happily Ever After is just the beginning on webtalkradio.net. I'm Leslie Dorries, and I'm engaged in a really interesting conversation with Liz Higgins, who's a marriage and family therapy associate and contributor to Huffington Post, about privacy versus secrecy in your marriage. And if this is an issue for you guys, if in your marriage you struggle with what to share or what to keep private, you know, give me a call. If you're struggling with maybe trust issues, it's, you know, give me a call, shoot me an email, and take advantage of my free, no obligation, completely confidential strategy session, so we can figure out what's going on in your marriage and get you back on track. You can reach me at Leslie, L-E-S-L-I, at foundationscoachingnc.com. That's F-O-U-N-D-A-T-I-O-N-S, coachingnc.com, or you can call me at 919-924-0463. And, you know, we're talking about trust and we're talking about control, and that's one of the things that I see all the time, you know, that if I can just get, you know, if I could just control my partner, or if I could just get this information, then everything's going to be fine. But, you know, how do these issues of trust and control play out in determining what to share and what to keep private in your marriage?
Well, I think it's a really good question. It's kind of a complex question, you know, and it depends on the person and the relationship and the circumstances. But really, I think, you know, people tend to look at trust as something that, for example, you give me, you know, you give me trust. Mm-hmm. But that's really only part of it. You know, trust comes from within. I choose to trust you. When we feel like we can't trust our partner for whatever reason, I'm sure you can think about how that feels. You know, we tend to feel a little out of control. We get kind of desperate. We need to know, so we start to probe. And so I think it's really important to recognize that trust is really a choice we make from within, and there's a lot that's out of our control that comes with that, you know. And I work with a lot of premarital couples, and most of them are, like, itching to get to the communication and conflict resolution parts of the process. And what I found and what I started to see with a lot of these couples that were like, that's the part we really need to focus on, you know, they really were wanting to learn some skills with that. And the pattern I started to see revealed was oftentimes a partner who basically learned to stop expressing their feelings or bringing up issues that stirred things up and created arguments, because they didn't want to make their partner angry or cause a negative reaction. So they just stopped communicating about it at all. And as I mentioned earlier, that really can build resentment longer down the road. So in essence, people who... No, go ahead.
Well, that's what I tell my couples, because, and I call it making, mm-hmm. I call it making a concession, where I'm agreeing to something that I don't agree to, either because I actively say to you it's okay, or I agree by silence because I don't say anything. And then that's mm-hmm. where the resentment comes in. I actually had a client years ago who said that, you know, his wife made him live in Baltimore for 12 years. And I said, what? Wow. She duct taped you to the chair with a gun to your head? What do you mean? You know, and as it turned out, he had never expressed to her that he hated Baltimore. And it's like, well, then how was she supposed to know? So he was quietly acquiescing because he didn't want to rock the boat. He didn't want to have this difficult conversation about why, you know, about what the problem was for him there. And then 12 years later, he erupts. And she's like, what are you talking about?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. You know, we cannot hold our partner accountable for something that we have never expressed. You know, we can't hold that expectation over their head. And unfortunately, every single person in this world walks into marriage with expectations. And that's really important, don't we all?
Yeah.
Could probably spend a whole another hour just talking about that.
Well, I mean, and so that brings up a point, because you mentioned doing premarital work, and it always stuns me that people don't talk about. And I don't know whether it's because these ideas have never occurred to them, although I'm not quite sure how they wouldn't, but it's almost like, well, I'm just going to close my eyes and hope that all goes away. And then, of course, it doesn't.
Right.
And then they seem to be surprised when, well, how did you not know that? Because I'm not a mind reader and you didn't share it with me.
Exactly.
It's like, oh, that's what that slamming door meant. Oh, okay.
Right. We cannot just hear, you know, direct communication does not come from the context clues. You know, direct communication is really learning to express your needs, your thoughts about things, your feelings about things. And, you know, if that isn't established early on, and in my eyes, pre-marriage, then you're going to really, really be faced with some struggles pretty quickly, you know, into the marriage, I think. And it's amazing that more and more young couples really are calling and coming in and doing premarital counseling. I think it's really an awesome thing. It's just so important, you know. And, yeah, it really just is.
Well, it's important because, and what people don't realize until, I think sometimes, you know, sometimes it's a year, you know, maybe it's 6 months into marriage or 2 years into marriage or whatever, that marriage truly is very different from any other relationship they've ever been in. And the skills that they've developed over time in dealing with relationships can be helpful, but usually aren't enough, because marriage, and I hate to break this to people if they don't already know this, but marriage isn't a perpetual happiness trail, never interrupted by bumps or turns.
Exactly.
I hate to break this to people. But, you know, and it's how do we deal with the bumps and the turns and communicate, basic communication, good communication, knowing and establishing that line between what's okay for me to keep private versus what's absolutely necessary to share is kind of like the foundational piece. We can't resolve any issue if we don't have the good communication, being able to be honest about our thoughts and our feelings in a caring and safe environment. It's creating
that
safe space.
Right, and that's why I kind of wrote a little bit in this piece on trust and control, because really, you know, control isn't just this aggressive, abrasive, ugly thing that people do. Control can be very passive and very manipulative. And, you know, when you're talking about people that kind of refrain from expressing things or just choose not to bring something up because they don't want to stir the pot, that's really actually trying to control the outcome. You know, I'm not going to bring this up because I don't want to risk how you're going to respond to me in potentially a negative, ugly way. So I'm just going to hold that in so that I can make sure, you know, the ship is, the sea is calm, basically. Mm-hmm. And that's a form of control, too. So, you know, sometimes full disclosure in those moments might be really important, because how you are feeling deserves to be known. And you're so right. You know, marriage is it's a different ballgame. You know, it is about learning about another person's world and really practicing letting someone into your world. And that's a risk. And we don't necessarily do that in every other relationship in our lives.
Well, and it's getting that out there that this is really what it's about. And, oh, by the way, it's okay to be scared.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want it to work, you have to be willing to find a way through the fear. And this is where I think getting some outside help is good for people. And they shouldn't be scared of that particular process.
Right.
But it's how do we, you know, I mean, I know you're very familiar with the statistic that it, you know, people are unhappy for 6 to 7 years before they go and get help. And I'm thinking, no, let's learn how to do this in the beginning so that we can start off on the right foot. And that doesn't mean that we're not going to run into, you know, bumps and challenges along the way, but at least we're starting out from a position, I think, of power, of where, hey, we have this tool, we have this skill, and we'll be able to do this. And I think that kind of can help alleviate a lot of the fear that people have around being married, that scary thing that...
Absolutely. Yeah, it's kind of empowering when you can get to that point together as a team. You know, one of my favorite quotes is, conflict is growth trying to happen. It's those growing pains of marriage, you know, those little issues, the nitpicking fights that you have that are really the perfect opportunities to practice listening to your partner, hearing them out, you know, pausing on your reaction and just trying to, you know, cultivate some empathy between the two of you. I completely agree with what you're saying.
Well, and I kind of like looking at it from a place of curiosity. It's like, oh, tell me more about how you interpret that, as opposed to, no, that's just wrong because that makes me uncomfortable and I don't want to do that.
Yeah. Right.
And I think that's the skill. I think that if you know, there's a different way to approach things, and none of us would get into an Indy 500 car and go racing around with the pros without getting some training.
Absolutely.
But yet we think, but we hop into marriage thinking, oh, it's no problem. We have love. We get along. And we're just going to climb, you know, we'll be fine. And if you're lucky, yeah, you will. But what happens when you hit that first bump in the road if you don't know what to do with it?
Right, right. If it feels easy, I'm not so sure that you're doing it right. Because love is work, you know, maintaining long-term love.
Well, and I respectfully disagree with that, because that's one of the things that I think turns people off. But you know, because work, when people use work that way, to me it implies drudgery, and as opposed to looking at it like this is an interesting process, and let's be open to it, and let's be open to learning about it, not being scared of, I'm going to go home and work with the spouse, you know.
Yeah. It's like maybe the better way to look at it is, you know, it's intentional. It's got to come from an intentional place of, curiosity, as you say. I love that term, because it's new terrain for each person. You got to explore it.
And no matter how well we know somebody, there's always something we don't know. I mean, my husband and I are coming up on 31 years, and sometimes one of us will look at the other one going, who are you? Where did that come from? You know, it's like, we've been together 31 years. How the heck is there anything new to know about you? But there is, because we don't stay static, and the relationship doesn't stay static. There's always... there's always a dynamic flow. And yes, hopefully we don't wake up and think that our partner has done a complete 180 and they're suddenly somebody we don't know. But it's like, oh, really? You're interested in that. Tell me about that.
Absolutely. Yeah, continuing to just be intentional about learning who your partner is. I mean, that's one of the questions I'll ask in premarital counseling, and we're talking before the wedding has even happened. I will ask couples, so how do you intend to stay curious about your partner throughout your marriage?
Oh, I love that. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and sometimes you get the blank stare looking back at you.
Other like, times, what are you talking about?
Yeah. And other times it's like, wow, I never thought about that. I figured I knew everything about him or her. And it's a really interesting conversation that can unfold sometimes.
So how do you think we can help get people into this idea that there is more to learn about being married, that it's a normal process, that premarital counseling or early conversation once you're married is actually a way to forestall or completely avoid some of the bigger challenges?
Well, I think in therapy terms, I say boundaries, communication skills, and empathy for your partner. Because, you don't want to undermine the relationship. And in real talk, I'm kind of talking about, learning what your needs are in order to trust your partner. Understanding what
and
your
trust yourself
needs are. Oh, absolutely. Self-trust is one of the most important things I think that an individual can really cultivate for themselves. Because if you don't trust yourself, you're not going to be able to rely on those instinctual feelings that you get about things. A lot of times you have a feeling something doesn't feel right. That's worth exploring. So, learning what you can do more of to trust yourself and to trust your partner.
Okay, so Liz, where can people find more about, this topic and you and how to go ahead and do something different?
Sure. Well, I think, of course, if this seems like something that is potentially causing big issues right now in your relationship, I always urge people to maybe seek out a professional in their area. Just go and talk to somebody about what you're experiencing. I'm in Dallas, Texas, so I do see clients here and couples and do a lot of premarital counseling. But I also have a blog, and I write a relationship blog and keep it pretty active just regarding topics like this, a lot of premarital stuff. And you can find that at www.lizhigginsmft.com. And I'm also pretty active all the time on my Twitter and Facebook, so you can just search me, Liz Higgins, on either one of those things. I use the Prepare and Enrich premarital program a lot with couples, and it's got lots of great information, lots of great research backing it up. So if anyone's ever interested in just reading more about marriage statistics or how working through these things could help you and give you a higher percentage chance of, staying married long term. I urge people to check that out too.
Yeah, it's a great program. And so, people don't stop being themselves just because they get married, but figuring out how to balance you and your relationship is really a common struggle for people. So just because it's normal doesn't mean it has to continue to impact your marriage in a negative way. You have to be willing to learn how to do it differently. So choosing to do it sooner rather than later in your relationship can make all the difference in how you feel. So I recommend keep listening to the show, keep learning, get help, call Liz, call me, and until next week, stay loving.